Yes, from JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Yep, morning, Mike.
Millennium and Copthorne, a lot of jobs.
Oh, jobs and tourism. It was a sobering day yesterday, Mike, for our tourism sector. And it highlights actually the disconnect that we're currently seeing between how long, you know, some businesses can actually stay open and stay operating, and when tourism will actually pick up again, I suppose. And it raises the question of when we do get back to normal, whatever that looks like, you know, who'll be left? I mean, who'll be left standing? Millennium Copthorne, this is a hotel chain. It's actually listed on the NZX, and a lot of people may not know that because it's not heavily traded. They had their AGM yesterday. Company gave an update presentation on where they're at, and it's important to listen to the words when the people at the coalface are talking. And in their presentation, they said the Trans-Tasman bubble is still some time away. So I know this is being held out there as being a bit of a saviour for our tourism sector, but I think we need to sort of cool our jets a bit as to when this might actually occur. The PM said yesterday it's being looked at, worked on. But, Mike, the Australian states don't even have conformity on travel yet. And the PM said they want to see how the easing of restrictions plays out. They need to both be assured that we have the virus under control. So what does that mean? Level one? Level zero? It's got the feeling that it's going to be months away. And I know that's probably not what a lot of tourism operators want to hear, but it's just got that feeling. 2019 was actually Millennium's best year yet. They had over 80% occupancy. An interesting thing, what they said in their presentation yesterday, is the domestic business and leisure is their largest source of room revenue. But it's not, obviously, even if they think it's going to get up and running, it's not enough to keep the doors open. Over 70% of the workforce affected by restructuring, so that's over 900 staff. They said, does it have to take the pandemic carnage going viral to show the wide and deep linkages tourism brings to the New Zealand economy? So a sobering presentation, Mike.
Yes, unfortunately. We've got a surplus, though, which is good, but we only got a surplus, as far as I can tell, because we didn't bring anything into the country.
We have actually, there was a lot of other news on the tourism, so we might have time to talk about that as well. Yes, we got a surplus, a record monthly trade surplus in April. What happened? Well, we didn't import anything, or at least imports were significantly affected. It was the biggest fall since October 2009. It resulted in a trade surplus of $1.3 billion. So we had a $1.1 billion fall in the value of imports. So that's a 22% fall when compared to the same month last year. That's the second largest fall since records for this series began in 1960. No prizes for guessing the reason, COVID-19. The biggest contributor was a fall in imports of petroleum, down 58%. No one filling their car up. I think I'm now actually measuring months since I put petrol in my car. Exports were down 4%. So actually dairy and fruit looked pretty good, but log exports sort of knocked the exports down. If we'd kept exporting logs, we actually probably would have seen a pretty healthy month on the export side in April.
Indeed. Now, we should mention, speaking of the tourism, the hotels and stuff, Air New Zealand, they've got major troubles. I mentioned on the program yesterday that motorhome thing. Yeah. $29 a day you get out around the country.
Yeah, tourism home restructuring. I mean, the range of businesses that they're restructuring, which means job losses, Waitomo's going to get hit pretty hard. And of course, when a town like Waitomo, when they drop jobs out of the caves, it affects the whole town. Mm. But the motorhome campaign they announced earlier this week, which is heavily discounted camper rentals, it's going gangbusters, absolute gangbusters. Apparently, they can't keep up. So I'm going to put it out there. If you're driving around in the next few months and you get stuck behind a camper van, chill out. They're helping the local economy.
Couldn't agree more. And what about Air New Zealand?
Air New Zealand, well, yeah, poor old Greg Foran. They announced yesterday they gave a liquidity and earnings update. They've got cash in the bank. They've got over $640 million. They haven't tapped the $900 million facility from the government yet, but they have had to recognise a few losses. Some of these are cash losses, some non-cash. They've hedged a lot of fuel. Unfortunately, they don't need the fuel now, so they're going to have to close those hedges out. It's going to cost them a bit of money. Reorganisation costs could be about $150 million, $85 to $105 million on the hedges. They've taken some impairments on planes. That's non-cash, though. So that's just a balance sheet item. Share price holding up, but Jesus, tough times coming in for old Greg Foran, isn't it?
It's a big and crazy world at the moment. What are the numbers?
US share market rocketing. It's rocketing. The liquidity-led rally carries on. Dow Jones up 677 points, 2.77%. 25142 at the S&P 500, crashes through the 3,000 barrier, 3,011 at the moment, up 56, 1.9%. The NASDAQ, 9411, up just under 1%. FTSE 100, 6067, also up 1.24% overnight. The Nikkei, 2.5% gain there, up 529, 21271. Shanghai Composite, 2846, up 1%. The Australian market is going very strongly this week, up another 2.9% yesterday. 164 points, 5780. We joined the party yesterday, up 1.29% on the NZX 50, 138 points, 10,914. And this is all good news for the currency. The New Zealand dollar stronger. Maybe the Reserve Bank won't like that. 0.6205 against the US, 0.9330 against the Aussie, 0.5652 euro, 0.5035 pounds, 66.78 yen. Gold down a little bit, $1,712.04, and Brent crude, $35.82.
Look forward to your company Thursday morning, Andrew Kelleher and the team and the expertise at jmiwealth.co.nz.